When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Disclaimer. The information shared on this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered as professional advice or a substitute for seeking professional advice. I'm Jake Deptula.
And I'm Michelle Locke.
And this is Love Less Fridays. Here we delve deeper into the topics, themes, and stories featured on Love Less Fear. Today, Michelle and I are excited to welcome back Deborah, who shared her story in Love Less Fear episode 12, I've Always Seemed to Attract the Crazy Type. After a devastating betrayal ended her first marriage, Deborah turned to alcohol to cope, leading her into a cycle of addiction and toxic relationships. Seeking love and stability, she instead found herself trapped with a manipulative and abusive partner who exploited her vulnerabilities and weaponized the legal system against her. Through resilience, therapy, and a commitment to sobriety, Deborah broke free, rebuilt her life, and now empowers others to embrace their strength and worth. Let's listen to a clip from that episode.
But the end of that marriage is where I learned to equate chemicals with avoiding pain. Alcohol became a problem pretty quickly for me. I just continued to choose worse and worse partners along the way because I lost my self-respect. There was somebody that lived in a town not too far away. I liked his look. It was definitely a rock and roll look, and he had a picture on a motorcycle. I put my house up for rent, and within a month, I had moved in with him, sold most of my belongings. So within record time, I'm fired from my great job, already have given up the house that I had just reestablished. And so at this point, I'm pretty realizing that I'm dependent on him. Anything I told him, any vulnerability I shared with him would become his weapon the next time. It would be whatever he would control me with or, something to make me feel bad about. He got a restraining order. What he did that night was call the ambulance and tell them that I was suicidal. It was more of how he could get me legally out of his house because I was no longer making money at the time.
Deborah, welcome back.
Hi.
Deborah, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Congratulations on your sobriety. That is impressive. Sitting here today, how long have you been sober?
Oh, I've lost track at least 9-10 years. There comes a point where it just becomes such a part of your life that you don't pay attention to the calendar. So for that, I'm grateful.
Well, that is amazing because according to a 2023 National Survey on Drug Use and Health, approximately 29 million people struggle with an alcohol use disorder. By far, alcohol is the most commonly abused substance in the United States. I can tell you in the cases that I handle, even as a former family law judge and even currently, every kind of domestic violence incident usually involved alcohol or cocaine, alcohol being the primary factor. And your story in particular about your sobriety hit home with me because I come from a long line of alcoholics. My grandmother used to bury her liquor bottles in the snow because we're originally from Canada. And so in the spring, when the snow started to melt, there were liquor bottles everywhere. My dad was a raging alcoholic, but he was one, what we call the high functioning ones. He was a surgeon with a very successful practice, but he had coolers on tap at our house. And so I could literally pour an amazing draft beer at age 7 because he would get those mugs, the 44-ounce mugs from Stop and Go. I don't know if y'all remember those. And he'd shake it at me, Mitchell, Mitchell. And that was my cue to go fill them up. And I just remember how mean he would get when he was drunk. And so anyone who finds sobriety and maintains it is just, they're a hero to me, quite frankly. Jake, do you have any experiences with alcohol that you can maybe share with us? I'd like to know some about that.
I certainly do. And it's ironic because, Deborah, I actually gave up drinking 9 years ago as well. I've been fortunate to say that I never necessarily had a drinking problem per se, but when I was heavily online dating, it was drinks every single weekend. Okay. I literally only drank on weekends. So it'd be like Friday, Saturday night, sometimes Sunday, never at home. But what was happening was that it was amplifying this false chemistry between me and the women that I was going out with, probably from their end too, on occasion, if they weren't attracted to me. One of the problems that I had was really getting an honest take on the chemistry, the connection or whatnot. And that was one of those issues. And it wasn't necessarily that I, at the time, thought that the drinks would make me bolder or more courageous, but I think it did add to that, to be fair. I think it helped me to come out of my shell because even back then, this was quite a while ago, this is well over 10 years ago, I wasn't necessarily as confident as I am now. I wasn't necessarily someone who was used to a lot of this sort of having to resell, reintroduce myself, go on these social job interviews, which is what it turns into for anyone who's online dating. I'm sure you understand that. You have to keep pitching yourself, selling yourself. And then with the drinks, the conversations can kind of go where they need to. But one of the problems that I had, and this doesn't suit well for me, was I was mixing up the stories of the women that I was dating. So
oh, that's
I would basically
terrible.
No, I mean, my whole credibility goes out the window. But basically, I would have these conversations and I would talk to these women. And I was dating 2 or 3 simultaneously, but not you know, it's just you
look,
go out and you meet
Jake
you,
the player.
Well, I mean, I would, let's not go. I would not go that far. And I'm sure if you took a survey of them, they would agree rightfully so. My player moves were not exactly top tier. But that being said is that I would mix up stories and I would go basically, oh, yeah, yeah, I like your brother, the chef. And one of the women goes, I don't have a brother. And I would like in that moment, it was like something like, I can't be this guy. I don't want to be this guy who can't even keep track of these things. And it wasn't that I was drinking to excess, mind you. It was just, you get in this cycle, right? You start using the alcohol as a way to sort of break the ice and it becomes sort of a condition to the atmosphere and amplifying things that don't necessarily exist, right? You could have perfect chemistry after a couple drinks and then the next day you meet for lunch or breakfast or depending upon what the scenario is and it's not there. Right?
Exactly.
And so that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Also, not to be vain, but if you look at my face back then to now, it's not even the same thing. I mean, DM me for a picture if anybody wants to see it. I have my driver's license.
Oh, I'm dying to see it, actually.
I'll send it to you. You know, that's the ironic thing. It's like I didn't drink a lot in college. I had my first official drink at 2021. But one of the funniest childhood stories was this, that when I was 6 or 7, my dad would ask me to go out down and get beers, right? And I would open the beers for him because I thought that, oh, he'd like me to open them for him as a convenience. But I would, of course, take a sip out of it. So I would basically open them and I'd say, oh, here, Dad, I opened it for you. And then after a while, he goes, don't open these anymore before you bring them down because there was probably 3 or 4 ounces missing out of the beer. I mean, he didn't know, but he knew that the beer was going somewhere. And I was like, well, that's, you know, charming as it is, I guess. But yeah, that's was kind of my first introduction to alcohol in that way at 6 or 7.
Yeah, the introduction starts early. I remember mine. I mean, I had a Scottish babysitter, Myra. She was very, very Scottish. And it was always a dirty martini with 2 twists. Like, I will never forget that as long as I live. That's what she drank every time I saw her.
This brings up a good point. Deborah, did you know that you had it in you to basically become sober? Did you think you would hit that milestone?
Absolutely not. I could not imagine a day, even a few hours without either some form of substance to either. I could find a million of reasons of why I needed to take something. And I just could not fathom actually getting through an entire 24 hours without that. That's what's been amazing to me, because when you learn how to cope with what's going on in your life, it really does become a thing where I just think, oh yeah, man, I really used to drink a lot and I never thought I would see the day that I'm not counting the days on the calendar. It's just something that happened along the way.
We're approaching holiday season coming up, right? And one of the things we always talk about is how much food and alcohol are just pillars of celebration. Those are moments when people are expected to imbibe, to basically at times enjoy their beverages and their food to excess, let's say, right? In terms of that. Are the holidays triggering for you because of those kind of circumstances where everybody around you is kind of partaking in these things that you're unable to share?
I'd have to say that overall, not really. But every time that I see like a nice drink in a glass that's really pretty, I think, oh, well, maybe I could just have one. So the temptation is sometimes there, but I know that there wouldn't be just one. But I think everybody has relatives they're not always looking forward to seeing, and the uneasy conversations. And it's just, it gets back to the same almost scenarios when you're dating. A little bit of liquid inhibition lowering stuff is going to make the day go smoother. But ultimately, I know that that's not going to end well. So it's fleeting and it passes.
In that case, Michelle, I have a question for you, because you're going to be someone eventually out in the dating world again, or at least that's the plan.
No.
Michelle Locke comes alive in 2025. That's what the slogan is. On the dating circuit, hitting up the Tinders and the Bumbles and the whatever else is out there. No, this is your official launch. If you want to catch Michelle January 1st, go to Bumble, go to Tinder. Where else are you going to be?
Tinder. What are the other ones? I don't even know what the other ones are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there like find a sexy Scottish man that looks like Gerard Butler? Yeah. If that's a dating website, I will join that one.
That's you're going to do some heavy searching, I'm sure, for that one.
I haven't already.
See, I knew you were on the apps.
I'm not on them. I just looked in the
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. So this brings up a better point, Michelle. You're somebody, we've talked about this before, you're very powerful in your work life.
Yeah.
Do you think you will be turning to alcohol on your dates when you meet these men in person for the first time?
You know, and I'll be really honest, alcohol for me is something that I have a love-hate relationship with, because I never wanted to turn into my father. And I've really been debating the whole sobriety thing and everything else. And honestly, I don't know that I will be including alcohol in it. Hearing Deborah's story, knowing your story, one of my law partners has been sober for, I think, over 15 years, maybe 16 years now. One of my other attorneys doesn't drink anymore. And I don't think it brings anything good along with it. Only brings along bad with it. And I don't want my next chapter to have bad.
This is a really good point, because sobriety is a movement now. Okay, there's a lot of people that are really embracing that. Even people who have never drank before are embracing it. And I see a lot of this where the same thing with, let's just say, how you approach dating. I have a sort of, I don't want to say a rule, but I have something that I believe, okay? So it's a belief of mine that I don't feel alcohol should be involved on a first date. I really don't. I think that it really does sort of tip the scales in the wrong direction, or can occasionally. That's my opinion. I feel that if you're under the influence of anything chemical, it's going to impact being right in front of somebody, understanding the level of communication, the level of chemistry, everything else like that. Even though I had gone from the past in that, because I'm not drinking now, so it's obviously easy for me. But I understand. I understand the whole reasoning behind that. I understand that on the social aspect is like basically wanting to turn to alcohol in order to reduce the nerves, to basically be able to do that. And I don't think it's always people go to it because they need it. I think it's just because it's a fun, festive thing to do. And it does kind of lighten up the mood.
And it becomes really just a habit, because you get to the point where you're drinking on weekends, or when you go out to dinner and have a glass of wine or whatever it is, but it just becomes a habit. And it's a bad habit that you don't even think about while you're doing it. And when you look back, when you're reflecting on your last year and what you want to carry forward into 2025, and what you want to leave behind in 2024, I think alcohol is on that list for me.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp. This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Deborah, you know, from this standpoint, your relationship with alcohol revolved around your relationships with men. You mentioned this in your story, and you were very candid with this, is that your first husband and the divorce and the demise and what happened in the aspect of that relationship basically pushed you into a position to drink. And then you end up finding a partner afterwards who basically encouraged you to drink and then ended up turning your own addiction against you in many circumstances. How have you now separated that out, that alcohol and men aren't an equal scenario based on the recovery and the health aspect? Like, what turned everything around for you?
Well, I think it was basically just the simple decision that I was going to make myself somebody that was self-sufficient. Like, after the bad relationship breakup, the last one, I decided I'm not going to date any more men or anything. I'm just going to be happy by myself. And what happened was my sixth grade boyfriend, he started coming over just to hang out. And at that point, I had already started a sober lifestyle. And he just happens to not drink. He certainly can. He just doesn't. It was just finally somebody that's easy to be with, that I can be myself. I don't need to have a drink to feel comfortable. But I have to say, I did a lot of that on my own, learning to be comfortable in my own skin. And I think that's one of the reasons that this relationship was able to be successful. Because when you become someone that you'd want to be with, then the people that want to be with you show up.
That couldn't be better said, quite frankly. I was giving dating advice this morning in San Antonio, and one of my tips was, in 2025, you need to date yourself.
Exactly. Yes.
Because until you figure out what it is you want, don't waste your energy on someone else just yet, because it's not going to work. You have got to date yourself. You have got to be able to go to a restaurant and sit there by yourself, enjoy a meal by yourself, yes, and be okay with that. Because I got to tell you, as a recent divorcee who lived with my ex-husband for 24 years, man, it's difficult to be on your own for a while. I mean, it's taken some adjustment, and yeah, you got to learn to date yourself. And that's what I'm in the process of doing currently. So yeah, and I think you probably did the same thing. You dated yourself.
Exactly. And that all gets back to almost the common factor in whether it is a pill, a drink, a man. When you're looking for the validation, the I am worthy feeling from something outside yourself, it's most likely not going to end well.
Do you know, Michelle, I think I have some sort of action points for you. Some things that you can do is basically post your own profile on Bumble and see if you would date yourself. Like, put it out there and make a date with yourself on the actual app.
I don't know that I'm... the idea of putting up a Bumble profile, like, it terrifies me.
This is the irony, I think, in many people's lives, okay? They have one position of power, one position of confidence. You're in a different scenario because you were married for a long time. You know, a quarter of a century.
Yeah, I was. Basically. Very long time.
So you really are restarting. You're resetting. You're almost socially and emotionally like a 20-something-year-old, to be fair.
Oh, no. You're absolutely correct, because I stopped progressing past 23, which is when I met my husband. You're absolutely right. I know my issues.
I mean, maturity level, we know maturity level is negotiable or
yeah,
is debatable.
It's not anywhere near my age.
No, but that's a benefit, because that youthful spirit will keep people attracted to you and keep people excited about you and everything else like that. Because you do have a passion for life. You do have a passion for things like axe throwing and skydiving.
I would say someone's got to take me axe throwing. Someone. And in fact, when I come to LA, you're taking me axe throwing.
I don't even know where to start with an axe throwing situation.
Start with Google. It's really easy. Google. Axe throwing near me.
Deborah, when you look at this though, and you think about the dynamics and social relationships, I mean, Deborah, you had really dealt with all this while you were raising kids as well. What kind of peace have you made with your children at this point? Have they come to a point of understanding what you went through and acceptance? And have you accepted the decisions that you made during this time?
I have to say that now it's great, absolutely fabulous, better than I ever imagined it could be. But it took a long time to get there. And I did wrestle with a lot of guilt over the bad decisions I made. So I had to come to the realization, and it wasn't overnight, that holding on to guilt is really just stopping progressing forward. And that I may have been that person then, but I want to be the mother that I want to be today. And I'm capable of doing that. And so again, it gets back to the one day at a time. Every moment you have a chance to start over. It doesn't even have to be one day at a time. You can start next hour, next minute. And I just started to become the mother I would want. So just like when you make yourself the best you can be, it sounds so corny, but it really does. It draws like people to you and like results.
Yeah, good energy brings back good energy to you. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Haley, do you have any comments on some of the things that Deborah experienced and anything you can basically sort of share about alcoholism in your own life for anyone that you know?
My best friend is a recovering alcoholic and addict, and I am part of her sober journey. Deborah, your story was close to my heart, and I'm just so, so proud of you. You know, 9, 10 years, that's an incredible amount of time. And when you said you never thought that that was possible, I want to thank you for your honesty. Like, I really like how open you are about these things, because I am a huge fan of being open about emotions. I think that helps other people learn. And I think a lot of people can learn from your story and know that you can become sober and you can live a very fulfilling life and you can become the mom that you wanted to be. Like you said, you have done all of those things, and I really commend you on that. And I have learned from my best friend being part of her sober journey just how difficult it can be to realize those things and know that you can become sober and live a fulfilling life. And I really am so proud of everyone who does that, because seeing her go through all that stuff and seeing her come out on the other side, she has said the same thing. We always joke around, we're like, and she's okay with me saying her name, but I'd be like, would Claire 5 years ago, you know, would she think that she could be where she is today? And she's like, hell no, no. I just really love hearing about all of your successes and what's come for you after all this hard work you've put in.
Well, thank you. And something else came to mind, because it may be information you can use. Also, women that use alcohol or substances that end up going to the recovery meeting world, there's a tendency to, you know, they tell you don't date for the first 12 months, but inevitably it happens, like a rehab relationship or somebody that you're attracted to at meetings. And that can replace the chemical or the drug itself. So that's something that everybody is warned about. But quite honestly, more people need to listen to it, because I've seen that also happen in the recovery world, where men become, or a man will become, your reason to go to the meeting.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because I've seen that happen. And it's almost like you're replacing the alcohol with the good feelings that the new relationship gives you. And again, you're not going back to focusing on yourself. And that's really right. What needs to happen. Because at least in my experience, talking to people who struggle with substance abuse or alcohol abuse, there's a reason why they're doing those things, right? Like, there's a core reason. And until you get to that and you figure out, why am I doing this? Why am I going to alcohol or substances or to a man to fulfill these needs? Until you work on that, it's just not going to go well. So I think that's such a great point. It is so important to work on yourself and really figure out what makes you tick, what makes you want these things. And again, I'm just so proud of you for doing that. I mean, really incredible.
People who are addicts have addictive personalities, and the personality doesn't change. The addiction changes. And so lots of people, when they get sober, get addicted to coffee, get addicted to working out, because they have to have something that fills that void, because you can't fundamentally change who you are, right? So if you've got an addictive personality, that is who you are. You just need to make sure your addictions are healthy ones and not another relationship or not falling in love, because the dopamine hit you get when you're first in a relationship, I mean, you can't beat that feeling.
You know, along a different perspective, Haley, do you have any advice for Michelle online dating?
We need to do a whole podcast on just Michelle had her first date and here's how it went.
This is a PR emergency. I think we really need to jump in here. And this is resuscitation, life support. We really need to get in there and really help Michelle get on the straight and narrow.
The men are going to run away from me, y'all, with this voice and this personality. They'd be like, no thanks.
That's the winning attitude. That's really what's going to score you a lot of swipes. If you're already negatively viewing yourself, men are going to love that. You know that, right?
Yeah, it really attracts them.
No. This is the opposite. They're like, she's so powerful, but I see a weakness here. The manipulators, the narcissists will jump in. You know that.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happens online.
Absolutely.
They're looking for somebody who's highly paid, highly successful, and has some little crack in the system. Boom.
I have no cracks. They're all like JB welded together. We're good.
Next thing you know, you're getting a cold case of Sunkist Zero with a bow on it. And you're like, my dream man.
Man, if someone brought me Sunkist Zero and said, sweetheart, I know you love it, and made sure I was always in stock, I may fall in love.
Well, here's what I see in online profiles too, is when people put the keys to their heart, right? That's a narcissist wet dream, okay? They're like, oh, if only man would do this or right. Buy me this or get me that or take me here. They know how to gravitate towards that.
And
you know what I'm saying?
The fact that you said a narcissist wet dream, I'm never forgetting. And that needs to be like part of the promo.
Of course it will. I mean, the only thing we promo on this show is the guest stories and then any sort of odd, bizarre sexual things that happen in your court.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what a narcissist wet dream. I like that.
It's
one.
True though. That's
like, no, that was good.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Deborah, if you can speak to that, like you dealt with narcissists. You live with narcissists.
Oh, absolutely. They have it's almost like a psychic ability to hone in without you realizing. They learn exactly everything that is important to you and learn to just systematically chip it away. So yeah, that really hit the nail on the head, because when you do put what's important to you, they're going to come at you with whatever you want to hear. So I don't envy anybody going into online dating now, I have to say it. But I think you'll do well. You won't be on Bumble long. And if you want me to screen your letters or your replies, I'll be glad to do so, because I can spot a narcissist in his tracks, I believe.
I can for everyone else. I can't for myself. That's the problem.
You just scored a wing woman, Michelle. Who knew that
would
happen?
Listen, I need all the wing women and men I can get, quite frankly. Like, I'm a whole lot. I'm going to run my profile through all three of you. Okay, is this good, y'all? Let me know.
I can tell you from a heterosexual male perspective, like, I like this, I'd like that. But we have a pretty good sample size here in terms of our perspectives, where we come from, our backgrounds and things like that. So I think that could be good. I think that, would you mind if any listeners who want to chime in on your profile, if we posted it somewhere? And
I don't have any, I have no shame, no problem with that whatsoever.
All right, perfect. No, we can do this by committee. Let's get Michelle out there by committee. I think that'd be good. Let's all swipe left for Michelle or right.
And if there's any Gerard Butlers out there that are single, I'm available.
Okay. Clarify this. Is it swipe right or left for like?
I don't know.
They may know.
I have no idea. Okay, Haley, do you know, is it swipe right or swipe left?
This is like a test to see who's loyal to their partner if they're on the dating app.
I've never.
So Haley, I know you a lot about dating apps, right?
Right. Let me Google it.
Sure. You're basically, she knows so little, she's looking up dating apps, what okay. they are, right? Haley, that's how innocent
there
you are.
There we go. Yes, very innocent. Never did anything wrong, ever.
Good.
Swipe right is to like the person. Swipe left is to reject them. You'd be like, left, L for loser. There you go.
Wow. Okay, we need some swipe rights for Michelle. So,
Basically,
you know what I'm going to do? Is we'll put up the profile and we'll have anyone who's looking at the profile swipe it to basically indicate that, or put a thumbs up for swipe right. And then thumbs down for swipe left and see if they like it.
Okay. I'm game.
Now, granted, our listeners are like 90%+ women. So I don't know if that's going to help.
Yeah, but they all single women, or all women that listen, they always have someone they know who is single who they would say, oh, you should date this person. That, I mean, you always have someone.
Women are going to be great for credibility of a guy, of his, let's say, his virtues, hopefully his character. But guys are going to know what's going to attract them immediately. And let's be fair, it's going to start with pictures. It's going to start with, you know, those kind of things. And any guy who says it doesn't is most likely lying.
It's a liar. You got to like what you're looking at.
100%. 100%. And I think that, like, if you could take that and rate the pictures on that, but then you go further and it really is about what you're looking for, the criteria you're looking for, right? If you're going out there looking for 20-something men, you know, I'm telling you, you become the sugar mama. And that's
I want to be the sugar baby. You got this reversed.
Well, that's a pretty old man, if that's the case.
Well, that was my ex-husband.
I know. You don't need to go back there again. We're trying to get you out of the geriatric set.
Mm-hmm. We're terrible.
So, I mean, no offense, but I'm just telling you that we've already talked about the conditions around somebody who's so much older than you or potentially so much younger than you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that in itself creates a dynamic that is ripe for narcissistic abuse and taking advantage of someone when you've got that much of an age difference. Because I don't care what anyone says, with age comes wisdom. If I could tell my 23-year-old self what not to do, you know, I wouldn't change anything because I have my children, et cetera. But I would say, don't do it. Don't marry a man that's 22 years older than you, because it's just not appropriate. I understand now why my parents were so upset about it. I get it.
There's exceptions to the rule, and the fact that he is and was a lawyer, was and is a lawyer. That, let's be fair, the title and credibility go further than character until somebody learns your character, right?
Correct.
It does take time. And usually how character comes about is when you're faced with scenarios.
Right. When the chips are down, you see their true colors.
100%. And let's be fair, on an online dating website profile, you're not going to see true colors. You're going to see the best representation, much like any other social media account that people put out there. The problem is where to invest the time. And you could invest in time someone, and they could be investing time in other people. It's hard to know, like, dating's not a one-to-one scenario either. You know what I'm saying?
I do not have this kind of time. I just, like, on the morning show this morning, I was telling the people in San Antonio and the viewerships of South Texas and the border region. But I said, you got to get out from behind that computer screen, because you can't find love behind a screen.
I will tell you this. A friend of mine connected me to this online dating service called 3-Day Rule. What 3-Day Rule does is it pairs you up with like-minded relationship-seeking professionals. It's a very high success rate for couples, which usually end up in marriage. But the reason I'm telling you this is that I've never actually used it, but she set me up for it. So I was getting all these profiles, and these are all professional women, attractive, looking for like-minded people, possibly for myself, apparently in this case. So the reason I say this is that those are probably going to be more fruitful for you, is having a matchmaking service versus getting out in the general pop with the
dating. That sounds like I'm going to prison. Dating.
That's really what it is, right? It's,
you're going to be in general population, Michelle. I'm like, oh, shit.
Not on the first date, but we'll see how it goes. You know, that being said, is that I think that's probably a better suit for you. Deborah and Haley, do you agree with that? Probably a professional executive elite matchmaking service. And I'm not talking about an escort service, so get that out of your mind, Michelle. I'm talking about...
if they look like Gerard Butler, I'm good. But Deborah, when you got back out there, what did you do? Like, how did you get back out there after you'd gotten sober and were healing yourself? How did you get back out there and find your Mr. Right?
It was just this weird synchronicity thing where we were always in the same town at the same time. And my younger brother was his younger brother's friend. So that kind of just happened organically. But in order to get back out there, some of my female friends, I started to do things with them. And to be out in public, I think that is, you have better chances of meeting people that way. The matchmaking thing, I think, would be a good option. I'm sure, like in your city, they probably have it, like somebody like that. I don't know in rural Pennsylvania, had I tried that, if that would have been any luck.
Yeah, probably not rural Pennsylvania.
But yeah, online dating, I think it's kind of limited, but it is a good way to meet people. And it's going to at least get you to where you're screening possible dates and give you some practice that way. And I think that at around our age or more mature, it gets a little easier because you just don't have the patience for it.
There's no time for bullshit.
Right.
Like my bullshit meter is done. We're full. I don't want to deal with it. Thank you.
Michelle, I put the 3-day rule website in the chat. You want to take a look at it and let's just...
Oh, I already did. I've already pulled it up.
Oh, wow. You're ahead of me. That's great.
Because it says, and this is actually what's going to make me laugh because it's exactly what I said this morning, which is it says, stop swiping. It says, online dating is like a full-time job. Our matchmakers do the work for you, vetting each potential match face-to-face. Outsource your dating search now. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm going to have to use a service, which sounds weird. But the last time I dated, and I've told you this, Jake, I don't think Deborah knows, but I know Haley knows, was 2000. Things have really changed since then.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned it being a service, but think when they used to have travel agents. I mean, they still do, but really travel agents were the ones who booked you the flights, right?
Correct.
When they left, or when Expedia and Travelocity and all these websites come up, you book your own travel. Most people do, right? Same way with online dating, if you think about it. Online dating is a service. The same way Travelocity or Expedia or Orbitz are a service, you're just doing it yourself. So the same way with like Tinder and Bumble, you're doing it yourself. But if you can hire somebody to do it, like a travel agent, this is your matchmaking agent.
Well,
do you like that logic?
Let's see if I'm brave enough to step out in the new world on this because,
well, there's no rush, but know you have options. And I think that one thing that I do fault you on is your negative view of thinking that nobody's going to like, you know,
listen,
you have so much to offer.
I had to push my prom date down flight bleachers to take me.
Michelle, you're 3 decades away from prom. Let's move on. I mean, no offense, but... But you've more than graduated. I mean, I don't know what...
Fair point.
In your head, I think you're still there. And I also think, to be fair, even though your cape is at the cleaners, according to your Instagram, get your ticket and go pick it up. Mm-hmm. I think it's also a crutch. I think you're gravitating back towards the insecurities that your successful career and life have not allowed you to heal yet. And it's unfortunate. And I get it.
I've been too busy. That's why I want to date myself. I got to figure out what I like. But,
and that's, I think that is the absolute key. I think that's what, when I was doing Loveless Fear, the original title was Let's Stay Single. I've told the story many times. And it was about my next chapter after a bad breakup and that I started to stay single because I wanted to understand why I was susceptible to these things. I had all the books. I talked to so many survivors of bad dating relationship scenarios, especially through Strictly Stalking, where they turned into these things. And that was a very pivotal moment for me to really understand, really analyze. I'm not saying I'm not still susceptible to certain things, but at the same point, I think that's good for you. I think that'd be a good thing. But I also don't want you to overlook scenarios. And I don't like when you critique yourself in a sort of a, I get it that it's mockery, but it's also, I think it deflates your power. I think you need to step into your ego because you've earned it. And it's clear. I mean, you're a TV star now. We've talked about this.
You're so full of shit, but I appreciate it. Deborah, I have a question. How long did you date yourself for?
It was at least 6 months, almost a year. I didn't intend for it to be that long, but I just really enjoyed making my own decisions, not having to consult anybody on if I could do this or that. I guess at that point, I was really ready to be free. But all joking aside, you should be so confident. You are such a beautiful powerhouse woman. When I see your photos, I am like, wow, she's really got it together. So I hope that you're just doing it in a mocking fashion because...
I joke when I'm uncomfortable. I really do. I turn to humor to deflect when I'm uncomfortable. Absolutely.
And most of the time it's funny.
Occasionally I can be funny, not all the time, but sometimes.
It's mostly salacious and it's mostly, it basically off-putting and offsetting, but we've gotten through it. This is episode 14 of Love Less Fridays.
On episode 14. I mean, it's the first 14 of 1,000 we're going to do, but
amen.
I can't believe.
Well, you know, to round this out, Deborah, you have pretty much accomplished so much and you've made this remarkable journey. What are you working on now? What do you want to share with people?
Well, I do work one-on-one with women that aren't seeing themselves as they should. I have clients that are total powerhouses and they don't want to admit it to anybody, but they know that something's holding them back. So I luckily have been able to do some work in that area. And it takes someone else to help you shift your perception about yourself. So talking with a self-esteem coach is something that when you're done with therapy, but you still need a little bit more, that's the type of help that I provide.
That's incredible. And can you share a little bit about your podcast that you have?
Sure. It's called The Alternative Hair Alchemist. I have alopecia areata. My hair will come in and fall out. It's somewhat stress-related, might be autoimmune-related, but my own struggle with confidence because of that and my own struggle to find alternative hair that looks natural that you can't just spot a mile away like a lot of, unfortunately, wigs can be. It's my journey of opening a shop and helping women that don't see themselves as beautiful turn that perception around. There's hope if you don't have hair. So that's part of my message.
Thank you tremendously. And Michelle, just so you know, you have three people here who are willing to swipe right for you. So that should give you the confidence to enter the dating pool.
Well, I'm telling you, Jake, you're taking me axe throwing.
Thank you for joining Deborah, Michelle, and I on Loveless Fridays. If you have a dating or relationship story to share or want to participate in a discussion here on Loveless Fridays, DM me on Instagram at lovelessfearpod or email me at lovelessfearpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, sharing, and supporting. Links to guest social media and some content mentioned are in our show notes. If you know someone who's being abused by a partner, there is help available. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the National Domestic Violence Hotline provides essential tools and support to help survivors of domestic violence so they can live their lives free of abuse. Call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or text START to 88788.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.